Darth and Leanne are going to come now, just come on up, because I don't want to share too much about you, because I want you to have lots of time to speak. And so, Leanne, we've got this mic for you, and Darcy, you're plugged in, so that's wonderful. So just a quick reminder for those that might not know, Darcy and Leanne were on staff here a lot of years ago. You guys went down to kind of district office so that when I was in UConn, I would drive a school bus down because you guys were running History Maker, so that was a lot of fun. And most of us know I've shared the story, and I shared it last time you were here, but I just kind of like to remind people because it's fun. I sat in Boston Pizza with you when I first got basically into the ministry, and I was like, I need some Bible school. Like, I'm a retail guy. And you just handed me a check like God had already spoken to you to just pay the bill and said, here's your first course. You know, it's paid for by the district. And so that spoke to my heart. Love you guys. You're wonderful with my kids. We're glad to have you last night. So here's Darcy and Leanne to minister to you this morning. God bless you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like lots of memories, hey?
It just comes flooding back. And we actually drove here. We love Highway 16 and the drive and so many memories as we go along. But man, it's a long way up. You know, you forget, and then you get on the road, and it's like, wow, this is a lot. Anyway.
So good to be with you, and we want to start by just saying thank you. For the last 5 years, the church has been supporting us, praying for us as we've been on mission, and we are really grateful. We were saying last night just that it's more about it's more than just finances. It's about being partnered in with you. And as we are kind of on the edge out there by ourselves, it's incredible to know that there are people who are praying for and caring about what we are doing. Yeah. And in the same way, we care about you. Like, this is really exciting to see, Pastor Rob, to see the church flourishing, growing. We see familiar faces, but there's lots of faces out here that we don't recognize. And it's obvious that God is at work in TPA.
It's awesome. Yeah.
At the end of the service, if you would like information about us or some of the work that we do, we've got some cards that you can come and grab. You can stick this picture on your fridge, and we look better on the picture than in real.
This is like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I don't want to change the picture.
Like, oh my goodness, I'm a bit haggard, right? I never knew when I married Darcy, I never knew what an adventure I would be in for, you know. Anyway, it's been incredible. We've been married 35 years. And we've been busy. We have like 5 grandchildren. We have 2 4-year-olds and 3 1-year-olds. So it's been a bit crazy.
Yeah. Anyway. And, you know, it's interesting how, like, TPA makes its way into your heart. And so as we were youth pastors, associate pastors all those years ago, even as just 2 nights ago, I was on the phone with one of those youth from way back in the day, praying for them, encouraging them.
And those youth group are now like in their late 40s.
I know, it's so weird. Yeah, like, right? That would be bizarre.
Our kids are in their late 40s.
Yeah. So it's once a Terrace youth pastor,
yes,
always a Terrace youth pastor.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the last few years we've been engaged in 4 different things. We lead in Asia the historic mission of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, started by a lady named Sadie McLeod. And Sadie McLeod started because of some kids. She was lost and the kids grabbed her and led her to their school before they led her to their destination. And amazingly, in that opportunity, God spoke. And she wanted to do one thing, and the Lord wanted to do another. And there was a prayer meeting, and in the prayer meeting, and we got to read her journal, in the prayer meeting, God changed her mind. And she shifted gears to education for kids and planting churches. So we actually have a Christian high school that is a part of our ministry. And it's amazing. Like, it's publicly funded, but a Christian high school.
Yeah.
And so the gospel's shared. We have a Christian college in our building that we sponsor. And then there are a number of churches that were planted by our missionaries that are now totally led by our national partners in the city. And it's very special. So we get to work with all of that. Then we also, Leanne led something called Zoe Network. And I'll hold this while you...
Zoe Network is all about discipling people to get involved in God's mission. We know that God's mission is all around us. And sometimes we want to leave it to the professionals, right? We want to leave it to Pastor Rob or something that will actually engage people in like the ministry of the gospel. And we believe wholeheartedly that each one of us has a part to play. And so with Zoe, we love to help people understand their part that they are being invited by God to play. We also work with women's initiatives around the world. Currently, we have an ongoing project right now in Indonesia where we are working with victims of human trafficking, getting them out of that lifestyle and actually giving them skills training so that they can be, you know, reintegrated into society, all with a heart for spiritual transformation. So that's my job. Darcy has his job, but the way we've always worked together is that we help each other constantly. So he helps me with Zoe, I help him with the work in Asia, and yeah, it's a joy.
And then together, we do marriage ministry in all kinds of places around the world. And what I mean by that, we've written courses and made videos, and then those are in a number of different countries, and then we also teach in person in crazy kind of places. This was
just from like
a few weeks ago.
Back, actually.
Yeah,
in our city, in Hong Kong. And it's been amazing the doors that it's opened for us in our ministry.
So we taught on conflict in this particular session. And in Asia, pastors are perfect.
Yes.
And so in our session on conflict, we unpacked a dispute.
That we had had the Thursday before. This was a Saturday night. And we're like, hey, wait a minute. Like, let's talk about what this actually looks like. Well, their jaws just dropped. Because in Chinese culture, particularly, you want to save face and you want to present your best side. But Darcy and I have always shared, I think one of our strengths is sharing out of vulnerability and how the Holy Spirit like meets us where we are. And so we find our personalities just beautifully suited for the culture in crossing cultures, but also stretching them in new ways. So it's been amazing what God has done through that.
So even though we did something different than normal, we keep getting asked back.
Yes.
Can you do that again? Because that was different and really, really challenging. We also work with leaders around the world, coaching and developing leaders. So we're on Zoom at all kinds of crazy times. Working with leaders. And we say all that, and next year there will be a bit of a shift. We've been invited by the head of our mission to do actually this kind of thing, to travel across Canada and engage with churches on God's mission and to share that. Leanne would continue to lead Zoe, but it would mean less time in our Asian city, maybe more time in other places around the world.
More broader, so like not just in Asia, but in Europe, Africa, Latin America, that kind of thing.
So we don't entirely know what it means, but we know that there's a shift coming.
God's at work in our lives. Isn't that great? He's always at work in our lives. Like, you know, we don't just do one thing and do it for the rest of our lives. That, you know, God is like, He has an invitation for each one of us. And it's amazing what happens if we're willing to say yes. There's sometimes I want to say no. It'd be easier to have like a simpler life. Nothing against you, Darcy, at all. But, you know, the adventure with Christ is when we say yes.
Yeah.
And so if God is nudging you on something, maybe it's something that has been stirring within you, some of you probably for years. Say yes.
So we're going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to unpack this passage of Scripture. We feel like God's got a word for some of you today.
Amen.
And so I'm going to start reading at verse 4, and most of this will be on the slide on the screen behind us. And Jesus had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Could you give me a drink?" For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is really deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again."
Amen.
"The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Now pay attention to this little part. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." He gives it away. Just then his disciples came back, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him.
So often in church, we gather, we talk about evangelism, we talk about missions, and these things are so big. We know they're important, but sometimes they can be overwhelming when we look at the task that's in front of us. And the beautiful thing about our text today is that Jesus actually gives us an example of how to practically share Jesus in our community. And the first thing, so we want to go through a few things that we have picked up throughout this text. And the first thing that we see is that Jesus was out in the community. He was doing ordinary, everyday things. Now, Jesus had to travel like everyone else, and I imagine, like, he is at a point where his physical body was tired. He got tired. Isn't that crazy to think about? He got tired just like we do. Scripture says that it was early afternoon when he stopped to rest at a well in Sychar, and the disciples are off to buy food. And the thing to note is that our story happens within the community. It didn't happen in a synagogue. It didn't happen in a temple. It's like Jesus is sitting at the Tim Hortons, not in the sanctuary of the church. Now, we are not telling you don't go to church, because obviously it's important to gather as believers. But what we want to note is that the mission of God doesn't just happen here. The mission of God happens everywhere. And so, and I love that Jesus doesn't become someone else in the community. He was a spiritual person who just lived his life. And so as he is living his life, you know, he encounters this situation to really deeply minister to someone. And so it wasn't just a job, it wasn't a task, it was his life.
As we live in Asia, there are some things that are difficult. And one of the things that's difficult is that I'm a hockey fan.
Oh yeah.
And there isn't a whole lot of hockey going on in Asia. And so
I allow him to talk to me for 3 minutes every day about hockey, and I kind of put the timer on and yeah.
And
I try to stay
I think 3 minutes is a bit of an exaggeration.
Can you tell I'm not really listening?
Yeah. But your questions are getting better as we go. So this is what I have. And then there's what I long for is that hockey kind of conversation. And so I went on Facebook Marketplace in our city, and I'm looking like, how could I do this? How could I find somebody? And so I looked up hockey cards, and I found a guy. And so I booked him
one
for
one guy. I booked a city of 8 million people. He found the one guy.
So I booked the guy for coffee, and I meet him, and he's a feng shui master. Like he's a different guy. And so he shows me his hockey cards, and we're talking hockey and what teams he likes, and I'm like, this is kind of filling me up. And then he asked me what I do, and so I share what I do. And then the next thing you know, he says, "So, you're a spiritual person. I need some spiritual advice. Can you help me?" And I'm like, okay, I need to put my hockey stuff over there, and I need to step into the Jesus stuff. And we began. It was like a Tim. It's called Tea Wood. It was like Tim Hortons. Like it's this coffee shop, and he starts to ask me questions about Jesus and his particular situation, and I start to share who Jesus is. And the next thing you know, here's these two grown men crying in a tea wood. And I say to him, "Would you like me to pray for you?" And he's like, "Yes." And so put my arm on his shoulder and just begin to pray in the middle of tea wood for this specific situation. And it was beautiful. And it was like it wasn't in church. It wasn't in a college. It was in tea wood.
What we're noticing as we travel in Asia, but also in Canada, is that there is a spiritual hunger that we have not seen for years. And we think that maybe we're going to offend people with the gospel. They're not offended. They really aren't. And there is such a hunger. And I love how God has been using you in the past few weeks with multiple people that are
hungry.
Yeah. But it involves showing up in real life. Like not being cloistered, you know, with all your Christian-y friends and you know, do Christian-y things and then you go to the, you know, like Christian. It's important that we are together, but Jesus was just out in the community.
The second thing that we want you to notice in this passage of scripture is that Jesus spoke to a woman who was not like him. And this is actually a huge understatement. Mm. The woman who came to draw water was a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritans and the Jews, even though they were like genetic cousins, they did not get along or like each other. In fact, the Jews would avoid Samaria. Jesus was doing a weird thing with his disciples by cutting through, and a very weird thing by actually talking to the lady. But Jesus, in spite of the cultural differences, did not treat her poorly. He didn't put her down or avoid her. He engaged with her. And a question that we ask in Asia is, so who would it be to our Asian friends that you would avoid? And there are people groups like that they don't want to hang out with, that they look down upon.
And before we get all judgy, like let's think about ourselves.
Who do you avoid?
Yeah.
Who do you not want to hang out with? Who would be different than
so,
you.
So she's a Samaritan, but she's also a woman, right? And spiritual leaders wouldn't have been comfortable with speaking with a woman in the community. So yeah, it's crazy. Like we can read this and go, okay, yeah, that's a story or whatever. But when you look at the cultural implications, it's huge. Now, okay, so we think about this. why did she come for water in the middle of the day? You know, custom would say that the ladies would come to draw water at the beginning of the day, but she came later, and so our question is why? Well, theologians surmise that this woman was coming at this time because she was not accepted by the other women. So she would come when no one else was around. You know, she has this checkered past of many men, multiple marriages, and, you know, basically she had a poor reputation. And so in spite of all this, Jesus goes out of his way. He's tired, remember. But prompted by his father, he goes to speak to her, and he didn't judge her. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Like, we are so quick to condemn. We are so quick to judge. We like to kind of like sort of figure out who people are, and, you know, like, we've got all these different stratas that we use to kind of figure out where people are, but if we are followers of Christ, then let him be our example. Because he reached out in love to this woman. And it was like he saw her not as she was in her current circumstances, but he saw the potential of who he had created her to be. So when you are out and about in Terrace, when you see people that are other, or maybe it's easy to judge. That's easy. It's wired within us, within our sin nature. But instead, what would it look like to see people and to actually see the precious image bearer that is in front of us? Strip everything else aside. And the fact that people are made in God's image and loved. And the image of God is being distorted within them. It's being marred within them. But Christ wants to redeem every single thing and bring them back to who they were created to be. That's what Jesus does. He did it for me. He continues to do it for me. And I know that's your testimony too. So what does that look like as we go about cooperating with him?
Jesus also operated in the supernatural gifts in the community. Okay, so like, I think I was in church in week number one of my life. You know, like when I
didn't get there till 3 weeks old.
Okay, so you got to church at 3 weeks old. So we've been in Pentecostal churches for a long time. And I know that Holy Spirit moves in a Pentecostal church generally in two places. After the third slow song.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now you move now.
Now. Or at the end of the service, right? Like, it's like, okay, let's respond in prayer. And that's when Holy Spirit moves. Like, those are the places that we might expect Holy Spirit to move. But Jesus models for us that the gifts are for use in the community. Yeah. In verse 16, Jesus says, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered, said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five, and the one you now have is not your husband." So Jesus has just given this word of knowledge outside of the walls of the church. How novel.
Yes.
How interesting. But what would that look like for us? What would that look like to be, I guess, ready to listen to God as we are out and about? Like, do we ever, as we get in our car and drive to downtown, do we, or as we drive to the Tim Hortons or A&W, do we ever take the time to say, "God, what are you wanting to say as I'm out and about today?" And it's a simple thing, but most of us get into a rhythm of life where we're used to, this is the God place, right here. But God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. Mm. And he's talking to us far more often than we know.
You and I have been thinking about it in terms of assignment, right? Mm. Like asking ourselves in the morning, Lord, what is the assignment today? How can we have ears to listen? How can we actually activate the spiritual gifts that you've given us? How can we see your kingdom move forward? It's just, again, what a fun way to live, right?
And for us, like, this is not something that we've always been good at. Mm. I feel like being in Asia during the pandemic, when all of our plans, like, we came into our city with all kinds of plans.
Yeah, we moved there January 2020.
And 3 weeks later, the pandemic begins.
We had flow charts, you guys. It was going to be epic. Like, we were going to, like, do some pretty incredible things.
So all of those plans went out the window, and we began to learn how to listen to the voice of God on a daily basis. Because we had to kind of start from square zero. And that's, I don't want to do those days again, but I love what we've learned in terms of listening for God on a daily basis.
I feel like it's formed us for the next phase, right? Hmm. Yeah, I love that. Now, I don't know, are we on point 3 or 4 or 5? I don't know.
Somewhere.
The yeah. next point is that Jesus offered her living water. Christians are excellent at service. Like, when you walk in our city, you will see crosses everywhere, even though it's a communist place. You will see crosses on churches. You'll see them on hospitals. If you go around the world, Christians have built infrastructures of healthcare and education that is just unparalleled. It's beautiful. And we should continue to do that. But I think sometimes we can begin to forget the spiritual part of giving. Jesus clearly differentiates between what he has to offer and what humanity can bring. He said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, right? So we meet people's healthcare needs. We meet their education needs. It's good, but they're going to be thirsty again. But he says, the water that I give him, they'll never be thirsty again. So Jesus is differentiating here, and he's saying, I'm going to bring eternal life. I'm actually going to bring living water. The living water that I bring is going to clean and redeem people. And so for us as believers, we have this incredible gift of eternal life. And yet we often stop our blessing at the kind of meeting the physical needs, right? Some of the social justice things that, you know, particularly our young people are behind. And that is absolutely the heart of God. And we say yes and amen to the impetus that the Spirit has put within you. But don't stop there, because people need the gospel. And he teaches us to share the eternal life with those around us, not just practical acts of service, but the spiritual gift of living water.
And so in this, Jesus gives a clue about the future, because all of this is happening as a prelude to his world-shaking gift of his life.
Amen.
As the sacrificial lamb who covers our sins for all time, he shares with the woman that soon worshiping God won't be about a place, and it won't be about one thing for the Jews and another for the Samaritans. He's saying the hour is coming, the time is coming when you're going to worship me in spirit and in
Amen.
Truth. Now, and when we think about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it's spirit connected to the spiritual wherever we are, which is what we've been talking about. And in truth, that's an interesting one, because in the book of John, the word truth is synonymous for Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when Jesus says to her, you're going to worship in spirit and in truth, it's going to be through Christ.
Amen.
You are going to worship through me.
Amen.
And so Jesus is having this incredibly bold conversation, spiritual conversation with the woman, and she may not totally understand. In fact, it's like she doesn't totally understand, but that doesn't stop Jesus. She's really intrigued. She doesn't totally know what's going on, but his words touch her spirit and spark a longing for relationship with the living God. Mm. And I think that's kind of neat. Like, sometimes we'll hold back in our conversations with people about spiritual things because it's like, oh, well, they won't get it. But give it a shot.
Sure.
Give it a shot to talk about who Jesus is and what he means to you and what he's done for you. Because as you share, and if it's real for you and it's touched by the Spirit of God,
it has life.
It
right?
has life.
Yes.
So there's.
I think it makes me think of like all the stuff that we can do, right? But then when the Holy Spirit comes and emboldens or empowers or, you know, whatever, then that's the stuff that only he can do. You know, when we look at the story of this woman, the results are just crazy. The results are powerful. You know, she leaves the water jar. She goes into the town and she says, come on, you got to see this man who told me everything. And it was such a beautiful transformation for the woman. You know, like at the beginning of the story, she is not respected by the community. She's on the outside. She has to like avoid people. And then by the end of the story, she's actually the one that's bringing people to Christ, right?
And the community are listening. Like it says, the whole community was so interested because of what she said that they came to listen to what he said, and Jesus had to stay an extra couple of days.
Yeah, so this is what he does. He takes the outsider, he meets them, and he brings them inside. This is what he does. Amen. When he touches our lives, we are no longer on the outside. We are actually on the inside. When you think about this, the least respected woman in the community is the first human being to understand that he is the Messiah.
Before the kings, before the disciples, before the apostles, Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am the Messiah. Like, it's just crazy how Jesus is so upside down. Like yeah. If we were having a social media plan to announce, like, that Jesus was the Messiah, like,
we wouldn't use her.
No.
Because her voice didn't matter. Do you see how this works? Like, it's just crazy how God works. And I love it. Because it gives each one of us hope. If he can do it for her, he can do it for me. He can do it for you. He can do it for the homeless in Terrace. He can do it for the foreign workers we work with in our city. Like, this is what he does. This is the gospel. And she was impacted. Like the impact, the ripple effects were crazy. I mean, she was impacted. Her community was impacted. And it was just incredible. And I think about that time you took me to Siberia in January.
Yes, because I am that kind of husband.
He took me to Siberia in January. Go on.
Okay, so it was cold. It was very cold. We went to Siberia in January to meet with a group of church planters and to invest in them, to encourage them, but also to learn from them. Mm. And so we're sitting with this group of church planters, and it's like, so what's your strategy? That's the Darcy question. What's your strategy? And they looked kind of sheepish, and nobody said nothing. And I'm like, come on, guys, like, tell me your strategy. And finally, one of the guys is like, okay. We go into a town and we pray, and when God does something, we start a church.
You know what would be interesting to look back at the history here? Because that's often how things were started in particularly Pentecostal churches. Groups of people would pray and then wait for something to happen and then start a church.
So I said, well, can we see this? And so they said, okay, yeah, we'll take you to one. So we got in our car. It was funny because it was an Asian car. We're driving on the right. So the steering wheel was on the wrong side.
Oh, it freaked me out, actually.
It was a little awkward passing. That was scary. But that's not the story we're here to tell. So as we get to this community and we walk into an apartment building and climb a number of flights of stairs and we get to Lydia's house. And Lydia is hosting this church plant. And so we're in her living room and kitchen area. There's about 15, 16 of us in the place. There's a table off to the side that is literally bending in the middle with all the food that's on it, because that's the hospitality that's there. And we take time to sing. Somebody has a guitar, so we sing. Somebody brings the word. We listen to the word. We pray, and then we eat. Sound familiar? Like that's good
that's,
church.
That's church. That's
and
good
so
church.
At the end of the night, I sit down with Lydia, and I'm on the couch with her, and there's three others, and I say to Lydia, "So how did you come to be at this church? Like, how did this happen?" And she says, "Well, Pastor, I had cancer." And they, pointing at the planter, the church planter guy, they prayed for me, and I was healed. And so I accepted Jesus, and I came. Makes wow. sense. That's good. So I said to the lady sitting beside Lydia, "So how did you come here?" Here. And she said, "Well, I heard from Lydia about how she was healed of cancer, and I wanted to come and meet the God who would do that. And so I came and I accepted Jesus and I'm here." And so I said then to the guy on the end of the couch, because we were playing four on the couch kind of thing, it was four of us. I said to the guy on the end of the couch, "So how did you come to be here?" And he said, "Well, I heard from her about Lydia and how Lydia was healed of cancer. And so I had to come because there were some needs in my own life. I came, they prayed for me, and I met Jesus, and I'm here too." And I'm like, this is way too simple. I was expecting like this big strategy thing, and it was just the simplicity of the gospel.
So good.
So this morning here at TPA, maybe you're here today and you feel like you are unworthy.
Yeah, maybe you relate to the woman at the well.
But you aren't good enough to be loved by or used by God. But this morning, we want you to know that you are seen.
Mm. Amen.
You are seen and you are loved. And Jesus makes time for you exactly as you are. And you can receive his love and relationship this morning.
Amen.
He loves you. And for those who are already, you feel pretty solid in your faith, you know Jesus, you have a connection. A little later in the chapter, it says in verse 35, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." For the believers in the room, look up. Look up and out. The harvest is ripe and ready. There are so many all around us who are ready to receive Jesus. They are hungry. They've seen, particularly in these past few years, they've seen that technology and government and strategies and stuff doesn't work. I was just last night, I was sharing with a guy over Facebook Messenger. He reached out. He said, I'm blowing my life up with alcohol and drugs and prostitutes. And I know that it's leading me nowhere. It's the devil's got me. And he doesn't believe in a God.
It's really funny because every time he talks to you, he just makes sure that Darcy realizes that he doesn't believe in God.
But he's like,
but the devil is blowing up his life.
And he's like, "I need somebody. Yeah. Could we talk?" I'm like, "Wow, this is not a church person, no. Not a church person. All around us are people who are hungry to know Jesus. And so can we ask God to use us on his mission?
Amen.
As we are out and about in Terrace, Rupert, Kitimat, Smithers. Can you ask God to fill you with his Spirit?
Amen.
So that it's not just you, but it's you and him.
And I'm thinking too, can we ask that God would raise our expectation for what is possible? Like this gift that we have is not to be hoarded. It's not to be like kind of like enjoyed with our little group of people. It's actually to be shared widely. For some of you, you may be called to international work. Maybe that's something that you've thought about in the past and you're like, you know, you kind of put it aside and life got busy and then you had some kids and then it never seemed like the right time. I can tell you, if God is asking you to cross cultures internationally, God is still calling people to the mission field. He called us at 50. There's an invitation for you, for each one of you. It looks unique for each one of us. Isn't that neat? Because he uses us. He uses our personalities. He uses our location. He uses our interests, like hockey cards. Honestly, hockey cards has been the greatest avenue of ministry in the last 5 years. Not
because,
a professional.
And so, like, I think you're saying that because then it just means that you're saying that it was better than you talking to me about hockey.
What I'm saying is God's so creative.
He is so creative.
He wants to release you fully into all that he has for you. And the thing is, sometimes we hold back from God thinking, man, if I give this, this will mean that somehow my life is diminished, that somehow I'll have to give something up. When actually, when we live with that open hand under an open heaven, we just receive life.
So can we stand? We'd love to pray for you this morning, and then we'll turn it back to Pastor Rob. Jesus, we just thank you for your love and your life. We thank you that no matter what place we are in, you see us. No matter what we think of ourselves, you see us. No matter what we've done, you see us and love us and invite us into relationship with you. So Jesus, even right now, I pray that you would knock on the door of hearts in this room, the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, the anxious and afraid. And we just ask you to speak. We ask you to break through with your love. And Jesus, we pray for us as a church family. Lord, would you help us to lift our eyes up to you? Lift our eyes up to see the lost, to see the broken, to see the ones that you love all around us. Jesus, would you fill us with your Spirit in such a way that we are empowered to share your life and your love, not just on Sunday, not just on a special night or service night or a home group, but in our everyday walking around lives. Lord, use us. And may we see your miracles. May we hear of people coming to know Jesus here in Terrace. In your name, Jesus.